listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
United Way of Greater Cleveland mobilizes our community to advance education, income, and health. Join us and live united at UnitedWayCleveland.org. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, Notorious and the Nate Dogg, right here with you on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. It's time for the segment that is sweeping the nation.
After further review.
And that's its name, and our outstanding producer, Dave DiNatale, will hit us with a series of questions, and then we will share our brilliance and other... Is it brilliance?
I'm testing your brilliance on some of these today.
We'll just share our stuff. We'll just share something.
Fair enough. I like that. All right.
Hope it's better than that, though.
Well, it'll be better than that. I guarantee. All right. You know, we always talk on this show about something. You know, what's your memorable moment of the year, the best moment of the season, the worst moment of the season. Starting out.
After further review.
I'd like to know, is the craziest Browns moment of the season, you guys remember the flip, the back flip? Is that?
Fact or fiction?
The backward flip pass you're talking about?
Yes. The Brandon Weeden
backflip. You had to pick that?
Is that the craziest,
craziest moment? I think it was the most depressing moment of the season. Yeah. I don't know about craziest.
I think the craziest moment of the year was basically the last minute to 2 minutes against the New England Patriots when you're up 12, you give up a touchdown, then they recover the onside kick, then they throw it in the end zone, get a pass interference, then they throw another touchdown, and all of a sudden the Browns lose after Billy Cundiff boots one that looks like it's going in from 58 yards but falls just short. To me, that was the craziest sequence and something that I think, unfortunately, has come in many ways to define where we're at here. The other crazy moment, I would say, was... The 31-0 second quarter against the Bengals. That was the turning point of the season.
I'm going to say the Bengals game rivals that Patriot finish for insanity because nothing made sense in that game. That's still the most numbers-defying outcome of any, where they did everything. Everything pointed to a win, and the score did not. And trying to compute that, I was just talking off-air with Rob Chudzinski about that a little while ago today, and that one still gives him a headache.
Yeah.
All right.
Further review.
Put yourself in the mindset of the San Francisco 49ers. Looking back, you should have traded a first rounder for Josh Gordon. Is that
fact or fiction?
Thinking about it from San Francisco's perspective.
Absolutely.
Without question.
That's a total fact, and that's a team that you add him, and all of a sudden you're playing Bolden in the slot. You got Crabtree, you have Vernon Davis. They have the weapons to take advantage of any defense in the NFL.
That would have been the worst possible news for us because a first-round offer for Josh Gordon before the trade deadline, he was out of here. I can assure you he was out of here. They were waiting for that kind of offer, and they never got it. And that's a fact.
Thank goodness.
That's a fact, not fiction.
Yep. After further review.
All right, talking about trading and draft picks. I'm not talking about the Browns. I'm talking about Nate Dogg, and I'm talking about Notorious. You guys, if you had the opportunity, would trade a second-round pick for Kirk Cousins. Is that
fact or fiction?
I need to see more from him and get into, when I get into my full season evaluation, full off-season evaluation, I can probably comment on that a little bit better. I don't know that I would do that yet. I watched actually a lot of that game against Atlanta. I thought he did some good things. I don't know that he is necessarily yet a franchise quarterback. So I think that you can get somebody as good who's cheaper, who will be, you know, a year younger, et cetera, in the draft. So right now I'm going to say fiction, but I will reserve the right to change that after I do some more evaluation.
Of course, you can always change your mind.
I'm going to say fact. I got to see him very closely, studied him before the 2012 draft and the work he did at Michigan State. I talked with a lot of people that I know at Michigan State or who are alumni and in the media and follow football. Jim Miller is one, the former quarterback there, played for the Patriots, played for the Bears, one of my cohorts at SiriusXM NFL Radio, and studied a lot of tape with Jim. This kid's got the goods. I think it was a brilliant move for the Redskins to pick him up, have that asset, because they're going to get it. I think they're going to get at least the second round for him. They might get higher. This is a perfect time to make this deal for them because he's going to, in a draft that doesn't offer an overwhelming amount of quarterbacks and may not even offer one or two that are worthy of being great quarterbacks. We don't know. This may not be the year for the quarterback as well as next year's will be. But I think he's more proven. I think he's one of those car, those high-end luxury cars that you buy after someone else has driven it, and it's got the bugs out of it, and it can do something for you, and you'll be happy with it, and you didn't have to pay the premium price because, and they'll look, they'll hold out for more than a second, but a second-round pick for Kirk Cousins, I think you're getting something pretty good. I like the way the waggle plays that he runs, the versatility that he has. I could see him. He's so smart. He'll grasp what North Turner and Rob Chudzinski are putting together. I hear what Nate says about wanting to see more, and you could say that, but guess what? I need to see less from him than I would need out of a first-round draft pick quarterback that I'm hitching my wagon to. I would hitch my wagon to him.
Notorious. So let me say this, because I think that this is a possibility. First of all, if you could do that, we don't know that that's available, if they would trade him for a second-round pick. But hold on. If you could, this is what I would do then. If that was the case, I would trade back in the first round to pick up a second, and then basically you're still keeping the same number of picks, still keeping two firsts with a second, and then trade for Cousins.
Good plan. I'm on board with that plan. Yes.
General Manager Zagura, I'm on board with that.
All right, good. See? That's how I'm thinking.
Review.
Out of the box. Hustle. No hustle.
I like it. All right, next, guys. You touched on it a little bit in the first hour, but I'm just for the benefit of those, coming off of that Monday night game last night.
Yeah.
The Detroit Lions are 7-7. If they don't get in the playoffs, and it's not looking so hot right now, Jim Schwartz should and will be out of there. Is that
fact or fiction?
Fact.
And yes, he should. He should be gone yesterday. Yeah. That guy is not qualified to be doing the job that he is doing. I think if you put a good coach on that team, they have to be a Super Bowl contender.
They've fallen short, and I think he's a big part of it. I mean, they've done a lot to make that team a contender in terms of personnel. Martin Mayhew has done a terrific job. I've known Martin since his playing days in the National Football League. Covered him when he was in Buffalo, and smart guy, and they've put a lot of work into, as I say, acquiring the talent to make this team good. Now, watching Matthew Stafford implode as he did last night and throw all those picks, I'm watching Jim Schwartz saying, that guy's getting me fired right now during this game. And yeah, he was. He was in the process. That's how coaches do ultimately get fired. Quarterbacks usually are the cause. But in Schwartz's case, what I don't like is the lack of discipline that's been there, that edgy thing that he's pushed that I think he's not managed as well. I think he's pushed it but not known when to pull back.
And what about the non-call on the pass interference? And John Gruden made the point right there. He said that's the play that could cost this man his job.
Yep.
And it was a clear pass interference.
He was. The arm was being held. Yes, no doubt.
All right, next.
After further review.
This is actually looking ahead a little bit, but Devon Bess and Greg Little will not be on the Browns roster next year. Is that
fact or fiction?
I'll go with fact on that. I don't see either.
Did he say or both?
Both.
I think he said both.
I said both.
I'm inclined to think that both probably are. Let's put it this way. I'll preface it with this. Anticipating this team addressing receiver in the draft and free agency so that you've got answers for those two questions, because that's what they are, and they haven't delivered enough. I think we've seen, unfortunately, the best of what I had higher hopes for Devon Bess. I really did, but remember, I'm remembering the investment, and it wasn't great. It was a wash of fifth round picks. So if you got something from him, it was a bonus. They didn't get something from him really, and it is what it is. And with Greg Little, the story's been the same. So I'm very doubtful of their Browns futures.
Yeah, I think there's very little chance that Greg Little returns. I think there's probably a better chance for Devon Bess, but I'm not sure. I think that he's had a down year, and I think if you surround him with a little bit better talent, he'll be able to exploit some matchups. But I think he has been, given what he's done, the body of work he's presented as a player in the National Football League, I would say this is by far his most disappointing season.
Yeah, because he needed to be the thing that opened up other things, and that's what those routes, too many of those routes, I mean, the recurring memory I have is him making that kind of diving move and the ball going through his hands. We've seen that route like over and over again. It isn't like once or twice, but it's like several times. And this wasn't the guy. It just tells you the difference between training camp and the real thing. But you and I watching him, you know, always runs the best route, always open, always catches the ball. And we didn't see the always.
And this is the crazy thing. In his first year in the league, he caught 54 of his 75 targets. In his second year, 76 out of 113. Third year, 80 out of 126. Fourth year, 51 out of 85. Sixth year, 61 out of 105. So over 60% every year. And with the Browns this year, he's only caught 42 out of 86 targets.
Which opens the door to, yeah, well, he's had these multiple quarterbacks. What do you expect?
He wasn't playing with any prizes in Miami.
But exactly.
Before Tannehill.
That's what I'm saying. So I still think, you know, yes, quarterbacks make the receiver. I'll stick with that conversation. But I don't think you put that in this particular case. Just watching, you got to do it on a case-by-case, target-by-target assessment, and I don't see a guy who's consistent enough with it.
The last time Devon Bess had 30 yards receiving in a game was week 3, and his targets have been 6, 5, 6, 8, 6, 8, 5, 4. He's only gotten 3 or fewer targets twice in that span. That is unacceptable.
Ouch. All right, one more, guys.
After further review.
Step away from football. I know Vic is a big rock and roll fan. I would imagine Nate Dogg is as well. The 2014 inductees to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame were announced last night. Nirvana, Hall & Oates, Linda Ronstadt, Cat Stevens, Peter Gabriel, and Kiss in. The Replacements, The Zombies, Deep Purple. Wait till next year. I say Rock Hall did a pretty good job. Is that
fact or fiction?
Yes, I'm aboard. I give the Rock Hall all kinds of plaudits for the inductees. They're all, I mean, Linda Ronstadt, one of my favorites of
mine
all
too.
Time. I really love her.
I certainly
Hall & Oates, when you go back to Hall & Oates and watch, listen to what they've done just through the years. And I have a very good friend who went to high school, actually, with both of them down in Philly. And maybe that's part of the attachment, too. I kind of know some backstories when they were, like, just starting out. But wonderful. I'm good with all those. And Peter Gabriel, phenomenal.
What took so long for Peter Gabriel and for Kiss?
Kiss not
in the...
Because I think Kiss was just viewed as so gimmicky, but there was some real music with Kiss. That's the thing. Real, not just, you know, stuff that just, you know, that you just crank up as a sporting
event.
One of the great acts of all time. It's an
though.
Act. They were so far ahead of their time, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Lady Gaga learned from Kiss. I'm sorry. That's what I believe.
Yeah. And
of course, Madonna, you know. But I'm telling you, I think Kiss is, that's exceptional.
It's the first time in a long time I've been this excited about a class.
And Nirvana, absolutely. Nirvana was part of the movement that changed music.
Yes.
Without question, with the grunge era, et cetera.
I love it.
All right.
We got to start incorporating some rock days into our show.
Yes. Well, you know, I was going to play a couple of Hall of Famers coming out here. So.
And I've had one more thing. I've had requests now, Dino, to revive Motown Fridays. People are starting to say, what happened to it? We miss it. They're upset. It's changed lives. Sorry.
Well, you know, I hear you, and you know, now that if we've got some requests to bring it back, I want to bring back Motown Friday.
Well, we're going to probably have to have a big freaking meeting
about it here, though.
You got to get all the muckety mucks in their jackets and their ties. The suits got to all sit down in a conference room and let's talk about Motown Friday.
The pros
I don't
and
know.
Cons.
That's inappropriate for this show. We like the people like it. It's good feel good music. You like to feel good.
I do like to feel good.
he puts on his Browns skull cap. His
it's cold in here. In the dog bowl.
Is it a little colder in here than normal?
It's always cold in the dog bowl.
Well, Carly always wears a coat here, but that's Louisiana. That's
and
Louisiana.
I'm from California.
Carly country.
And you are from
originally.
I'm from a snowdrift.
Right. Don't care. This is just one snow to another.
We've got more coming up for you. We're going to have Gerard Cherry join us in a little bit. Talk a little more music, playing a little Sledgehammer here, are you? A little Peter Gabriel.
I like Big Time. Peter Gabriel, Big Time?
Big Time's another great one.
That's a great song.
That's your theme song.
That was the song for WrestleMania 22 emanating from Chicago, Illinois.
Leave it to you to tie it into that.
Main event of John Cena versus Triple H.
That's fantastic.
Mick Carucci, Nathan Zagura. So it's Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford. You're listening to ESPN 850. WKNR Sledgehammer.
Little known fact about that.